In the spring of 2001, my wife and daughter had driven to Tulsa. We had a doctor's appointment for my wife. Grandmother had a ranch-style house right off of 41st in Utica. So we stayed there with her at the other end of the house. She had a guest room and our own private bath. So we stayed there. She said, "You stay with me." I said, "Okay, that'd be great." We were unpacking. I was hanging the clothes up in the closet, and I was going to put our suitcases in that closet just to get them out of the way. And on the floor, I saw a cardboard box with some old newspaper clippings in there. And I'm fascinated by old news. So I took it out, and on the front page of the Tulsa World, I see a picture of my grandmother walking down the courthouse steps in Pawnee, Oklahoma. And it said murder trial across the headline. And I thought, what the? I had no idea, and I never knew that she was involved in the murder trial. So now I begin to ask myself, did she know the person that was killed? Was she there when this person was killed? What does she know about any of this? And boy, did I want to ask her. But we didn't have a chance to really go through the articles. It's obvious that she clipped them out and she stored them away. And I found them by pure accident. We had to leave for the doctor's appointment with the intent that when we got back to my grandmother's home that we would, you know, close the door and snoop and go through the newspaper articles. They were gone. She removed them from the closet, and I did not ask her about them.
Why didn't you ask her about them?
Because knowing my grandmother, that was just something that you did not discuss. And I saw how young she was. She was 18 when this was going on, and I figured that might have been kind of traumatic for her. So I was not interested in bringing up maybe some memories that would be very emotional for her.
Did you feel close to her?
Not exactly, no. And that was the other reason why. My mom and her had a very contentious relationship. And because of that, we weren't close to our grandmother.
Yet you came to stay with her and visit her. She welcomed you.
She did. She was very gracious. And I appreciate that.
All right. So this story is set in 1934, 1935. Great Depression era, which the story of the Depression did not affect these people at all.
Not really, no.
No. It's a story of wealth, of maybe having time on their hands, but we'll get into this. Let's talk about the players. Obviously, your grandmother, Virginia Wilcox Snedden-Hager. Phil Kennemer, talk to us about him, because he is central to this. What can you tell us about his personality? What kind of person was he?
In my research, I believe Phil was a rather troubled child. I think he was lost. I don't think he knew really what he really wanted to do in life. I think he was a troublemaker. I think he was somebody who had a lot of time on his hands, and he didn't know what to do with it. I know he wanted to make a difference, but those differences, I think, would have been not in a direction that his father would want him. He wanted to run away from home. He wanted to join the French Foreign Legion. Of course, that wasn't going to happen. So he was just a very, very troubled young man. I think his family was very frustrated with him as well because they didn't know what to do with him. I mean, his dad desperately tried to get him involved in different things, getting him jobs, but Phil just would lose interest and quit those jobs.
Tell us who his father was.
Franklin Kennemer, and he was a federal court judge for all of northern Oklahoma at that time.
I see Phil was born in Medill in 1915.
Which is where the family lived. Judge Kennemer was just getting his start.
By moving to Tulsa and becoming a federal judge.
Yep.
This place is Phil at what age? How old is he at the time of the crime?
Phil, I'm going to say he's about 19 years old.
Drinking?
Oh, he was an alcoholic.
But if he had any purpose in life or mission, it was for the love of your grandmother.
Yes.
Talk to us about that. He was desperately in love with her.
He was very in love with my grandmother. She and him dated when she was 15 years old. They went out a few times, but then I think my grandmother was maturing and realized the kind of person that Phil was, and she didn't want a romantic relationship with him at all. She just wanted to be friends. He didn't want to hear about it. He would do anything to woo her, to impress her, to make her fall in love with him.
John Gorell, let's bring him into the story now. Tell us who John Gorell was.
John Gorell was a resident of Tulsa. He was already graduated. He was 23 at the time of his demise. He was a dental student up in Kansas City. In my research, I believe he was a thug. you know, I think during that era, during that time, it was a depression, as you said earlier, John, that these kids, they were looking for money. Even though I don't think they needed to work, I think they wanted to work, but the mentality back then was just find something and do something illegal to make money.
So then Phil is introduced to John by another person by the name of Preston Cochran.
Yes. They worked together at the Freights Insurance Company in Tulsa, and Press, as he was known as, introduced the two together, John Gorell and Phil Kennemer. They became acquaintances. I don't think they were close friends, but I think that they were of similar mindset. I think they were both troubled youths. I think that they were looking for ways of making money, and I think something about that meeting clicked.
There is a club known as the Hi-Hat Club.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Hi-Hat Club was basically a club that was set up. It was a boys' club, basically. And a lot of these wealthy boys, teenage boys, got together to raise money to help people that were probably not as fortunate as they are during this time. They were using their allowance and putting money. I think it was like 25 cents a meeting. And the meetings were usually held in one of the other members' homes. So they rotated. Sometimes it would be held over at my grandfather's home, which is now the Tulsa Rose Garden. Sometimes it would be held over at Phil's place, other members' places. I really don't know or understand what they actually did in that. I think it was another club where, at that time, a lot of the girls would submit their names so they could get a date. They would spend their times like, ooh, I want to dance with her. They're getting her dance card, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with how that worked back in that era.
Let's go back. The Tulsa Rose Garden.
Tulsa Rose Garden.
That mansion that sits there was where your grandfather, again, his name was?
Jack Snedden. And he lived there with his older brother, George, and his sister, Geraldine. They were the children of George and Geraldine Snedden.
The Hi-Hat Club, the areas where they hung out was like 21st in Utica.
Yep.
19th in Utica. It's still a ways from downtown, I guess, but it's in that wealthy area of town.
It is.
Also not far from Philbrook.
Mm-hmm.
So John wants to meet Phil, and where did they meet?
They met in the Jelly Bean District back then, and it was at the Brown Derby.
The Jewett's Brown Derby Cafe.
Yep.
On South Main Street. Why was it called Jelly Bean?
That I don't know. I've been trying to find the answer to that. I don't know. Maybe that was a sweet spot or something of town where they would hang out.
All
That's
right.
The only thing I can think of.
Then we have another name, Ted Bath.
Ted Bath, I think he worked for a oil company in Longview, Texas. His parents lived there in Tulsa, and he also came back for Thanksgiving to visit there, too.
So then your grandfather, Jack Snedden, is part of the gang that hangs together.
Yeah. My grandfather, Jack, Phil, they were pretty much buds. Their homes were just a block away from each other, relatively. John Gorell was not part of that gang, as far as I know. He was already graduated. He was already up in Missouri going to college. So these kids were probably junior, seniors in high school. John Gorell's family lived in Tulsa. His father was a prominent physician, a doctor.